Are you following the Lord? Are you sure you're not just going through the motions? Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
You know, we say we're following the Lord because I'm still going to church, but in our hearts, we really stop following the Lord because we're not open to God doing some new thing in our lives. We're not open to the move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we kind of shut ourselves out. We thought, well, if I can get to church, I'm still following the Lord. No, just because you walk in the doors of the church doesn't mean you're following the Lord. Are we still having an intimate relationship with Him?
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
You get laid off after years of faithful service. Your spouse says, "We're through." Your home is going into foreclosure. There are many people today who are discouraged because of circumstances like these. Maybe you're discouraged today for some reason. Well, you've come to the right place, because today on The Dwelling Place, we'll see how God wants to minister to you. If you or someone you know is going through a rough patch in life, today's message is tailor-made for you. Join us in Acts chapter 18 as Pastor Al Pittman gets today's study underway.
The Jews had driven Paul from the judgment seat. They beat up Sosthenes. He was the ruler of the synagogue. Maybe he was associated with Paul. Being associated with Paul was hazardous. Even we saw with Jason in chapter 17, verse 6, he got accosted, of course, by being associated with Paul as well. In verse 18, the Bible says, "So Paul still remained a good while." Stop there. That blows my mind. Paul, don't you think that was your cue to get out of Corinth? You know, that you kind of dodged a bullet, but you continued to stay a good while, even after that. And I believe he stayed because he was following Jesus. That's a great point there, because of the very fact that sometimes when things get rough and things get tough or things get hard, we want to skedaddle. We want to leave. Marriage gets a little rocky. I'm out of here. We're incompatible. Ah! You know, she likes scrambled eggs. I like them over easy. Ah, I'm out of here. Job gets a little hard. Oh, I need to go someplace else. There's a little struggle, you know, living in Colorado Springs. I need to move someplace else. We're always, you know, the church has, you know, got a little commotion going on. Instead of praying, I'm getting out of here. Things get tough. But here's what I love to see. I love to see people who if they're coming to Calvary Worship Center, they're coming to Calvary Worship Center because God told them to come. And they're here because they believe God brought them here. Amen. Because that tells me that they will not leave until God tells them to leave. Amen. Because they are followers of Jesus Christ, they're not leading Jesus Christ on a leash. Amen. And I'm in this marriage until God tells me to leave. And he ain't going to tell you to leave unless you have biblical grounds. I'm on this job until God tells me I'm done. Okay, how nasty the supervisor is. If you have an opportunity, God doesn't, he's not against opportunities, but are you picking this up from Paul? Paul stayed there still a good while longer. Faith waits. Fear panics. He's waiting on the Lord, trusting in the Lord. Somebody said, faith reacts, fear responds. And I added, according to the word of God. And we see that in the world. We see where fear reacts, you know. A lot of fear, a lot of people reacting today in fear. They're reacting. But the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by the word of God, by the truth of God. Faith, fear always reacts. Have a bad day, you know. But faith responds. The Bible says in verse 18, it continues, then he took leave of the brethren and sailed to Syria, for Syria, because God released him from Corinth. And Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Centuria, for he had taken a vow. Now, this vow may be connected with, now, if people, some people believe that the person having their head shaved here is actually Aquila. It could be, but many scholars believe that it's Paul. And if it was Paul, he probably had his head shaved after taking a vow with the Lord in the context of a Nazirite vow with the Lord, because in the Nazirite vow, in Numbers chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, and in verse 18, it's on the screen, there was a commitment to the Lord to be consecrated to the Lord for a certain amount of time, to abstain from certain worldly things. And once you've completed the vow, Numbers chapter 6, verse 18 tells us that you would have your head shaved. You let your hair grow. You've seen some of the Hasidic Jews who have the locks come down, little curly cues, like curly fries coming down on the side of their head. They won't cut their hair, you know. It's related to the Nazirite vow. But they weren't, you know, you didn't have to have it that way all the time. Once you fulfilled your vow, according to Numbers chapter 6, you shave your head. And so that was a sign that you had fulfilled the vow that you had made unto the Lord. So Paul, probably after he made a vow to the Lord, when the Lord came to him and said, do not be afraid, he made a vow to the Lord, and maybe this is the completion of that vow after he left Corinth. He comes down to Ephesus, verse 19, and he came to Ephesus and left them there, that is Aquila and Priscilla, but he himself entered the synagogue there in Ephesus and reasoned with the Jews, and when they had asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent. Paul said, you know, they like Paul. They said, hey, we want to hear more. He said, I can't stay. He says, but took leave, verse 21, of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you. And I love this, God willing. He's a follower of Jesus. He's not leading Jesus. God willing is always a great way to end whatever your plans are. Hey, man, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. God willing. The Lord willing. And because I'm a follower of Jesus, I have plans, I have things I want to do, but you know what? God may not be willing. Always say, God willing. Even with appointments. Hey, let's get together next week. Yeah, I'll be there at 12 o'clock, Lord willing. Because I don't know. I may be in heaven at 12. You never know. You never know. And he sailed from Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was an interesting place that Paul was at. It was an important port city. It was on the west coast of modern-day Turkey. The ruins of Ephesus are still there. Ephesus was known, interesting, known for a lot of things, known for a lot of polytheism, a lot of, you know, they believed in multiple deities and gods and all this. It was kind of a religious, pagan religious center. In fact, Artemis, the Temple of Artemis, also called Diana by the Romans, was built there. It was a magnificent temple that was considered to be one of the seven wonders of the ancient world in its day. It was a port city, and so it was a lot of stuff going on in Ephesus. It also had there, interesting enough, they had medical schools. They had a large medical school, but they had several medical schools, according to historians. And in fact, there's a stone there with what is called the Canduceus. I think it's called Canduceus, or what is it called? Yeah, Canduceus. Canduceus is the Caduceus, not Can, Caduceus. Is that sign that you see on EMT patches or whatever, medical sign, two serpents that wound around a staff. Well, that's you know, probably originated from Ephesus. It was really originated from pagan religion. And then it speaks of medicine, speaks of healing and all of that. There's a similar sign found in the Old Testament for a different reason, but actually kind of similar reasons, really. In Numbers chapter 21, verses 5 to 7, there the children of Israel, they were rebelling against God. They rebelled against God's man, God that had said against Moses. And they were rebelling against the manna that God was giving them every day from heaven. They said, we're sick of this manna. We're going back to Egypt and all of this. And they were complaining. So God judged them by sending into the camp of Israel these poisonous, fiery serpents that started biting folks. And people started dying. And then they finally got the point, no pun intended, amen. And they repented of their sins. And in an act of mercy, God told Moses to fashion a bronze serpent to a pole and raise it up. And all who would look at the bronze serpent on this pole would live if they had been bitten. And everything God does is for a purpose, because that incident really was a prophetic sign of what Jesus would do for us on the cross. He was lifted up as a curse for us. The serpent was a curse. As a curse for us on the cross, that all who look to the cross might live, might be saved through faith in him. Amen? That was a prophetic sign, amen, in the Old Testament. So what does that have to do with our text? Well, Paul is going to Ephesus. He'll go back to Ephesus, but here he goes to Ephesus, and in the midst of a society that is really obsessed with physical healing, he brings a message of spiritual healing. He brings a message that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He brings to them the great physician and says, this is where true healing resides. And then I thought about our time today. Right now, people are jonesing for some type of vaccine for COVID. And I pray to the Lord that it comes soon and all. But here's the deal. We've got a society, the whole world, looking for healing. And we have the message of the ultimate healing through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? And so what should we be doing today that Paul did then is proclaiming Jesus. The ultimate healing, because you can get the vaccine, but the vaccine is not victory over your sin. But the cross is victory over your sin and sets for you an eternal destiny, irrefutable, irrevocable, through faith in Jesus Christ. That is everlasting life, through faith in him. I love what the Lord said to the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 15. He said, for I am the Lord who heals you. Our healing for America is in Jesus. The healing that America desperately needs is not in the vaccine, it's in the victory of the cross. And we need to be proclaiming that truth in our day and our time. In verse 21, I think I've already mentioned maybe, but he said, I can't stay with you guys, but I got to go. I got to get to Jerusalem for the feast. The feast that he's more likely speaking about is the feast of Passover. So he leaves them and he goes on, leaves Ephesus.
Pastor Al will be back in a few moments with the second half of today's message in Acts 18. Here at the midway point of today's broadcast, I want to thank you for tuning in today. It's a very big deal to us that you faithfully join us as part of our listening family, and I can tell you that Pastor Al really appreciates it. Would you like someone to pray for you? We would count it a real blessing to be able to do that. So share your prayer needs with us by going to our website, cwccs.org, and click the Need Prayer tab at the top of the homepage. That's cwccs.org. And we would also appreciate your prayers for this radio ministry. I think you'll agree, sound Bible teaching is exactly what this world needs right now. Thanks for remembering the dwelling place in your prayers. Now here's Pastor Al with the second half of today's message titled, Follow the Leader.
Verse 22 and 23 really is my conclusion for today. And then verse 22, it says, and when he had landed at Caesarea, Caesarea is on the coast of Israel. When we go to Israel and do our tours, we visit Caesarea, see some of the ruins there in Caesarea. And so he goes to Caesarea. So he's on a long journey, but he finally gets to Caesarea, to Israel. He goes up and greets the church there. Then he goes down to Antioch and greets the church in Antioch, which is in modern-day northern region in Syria. After that, it says he had spent some time there. He departed and went over the region of Galatia. It goes back into modern-day Turkey and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Now, I conclude with those two verses because it's fascinating to hear to me that Paul is still following the leader. Hey, after two missionary journeys, come on, let's be real. I'm kind of like, if I was Paul, I've been there, done that, let the young guys do it. It's time for retirement, amen. It's time to take it easy. I'll just stay back here. But here he is, he goes out again, right back up into modern-day Turkey, you know, from region today is northern Syria and Antioch into modern-day Turkey, and he's to strengthen the brethren there. He's still following the Lord despite his age. And despite the trials, he's still following the Lord. Sometimes in following the Lord, you know, we say we're following the Lord because I'm still going to church, but in our hearts, we really stop following the Lord. because we're not open to God doing some new thing in our lives. We're not open to the move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we kind of shut ourselves off. We thought, well, if I can get to church, I'm still following the Lord. No, just because you walk in the doors of the church doesn't mean you're following the Lord. Are we still having an intimate relationship with Him? Because to follow the Lord, really, and Paul, all his ministry, he did this, but he said, you know what? None of these things matter to me, he said, he would say later on in the book of Acts. When they said, oh, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem, they're going to bind you in chains. He said, you know, none of those things matter to me. What matters to me is that I finished the race God has called me to run, and that with joy. And you can't finish with joy unless you're following the leader. And he followed all the way to the end, and he finished with joy. Because here's the reality, you know, and I'm guilty of this too. Sometimes Lord, I just want some peace. Give me a week where there's not a challenge. I just want kind of everything smooth. Everything's wonderful. Everybody likes me. It's just wonderful. You know, we're just tiptoeing through the tulips and, everything's just wonderful. Praise the Lord, you know. And in the last couple of weeks have kind of rocked me. Just some of the things I've seen, Lord, you know, I need to get away. And sometimes you do need to get away. And just some personal stuff. And it's just, Lord, it's just, sometimes I just feel, Lord, I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of wrestling. I just want to be a spectator. But if I'm following Him, I've got to wrestle sometimes. Amen? We were at a memorial service the other day, and Kevin did a song there, and one of our other worship people was there singing. And it was neat. And memorial service for a young man who left this world way too soon. And but his wrestling coach came up, and he said this, and it struck me, and I looked at the guy next to me, and I thought, wow. He said, you know, when you're wrestling, I think it's three rounds. I call them rounds. I don't know anything about wrestling. All I know about wrestling is I took it in junior high school. I probably weighed 90 pounds. We had this coach. His name was Coach Pratt from South Junior High School, and it's torn down now. You know you're getting old when they start tearing down buildings schools you used to go to. He's about 4 foot nothing, and he's as mean as a bulldog. One of those coaches. Remember those guys? And he'd have us wrestle, and you get down there, and he'd have you put a guy in a half Nelson. That's all I remember. And then he'd tell you, drive, drive. I just hear him. That's all I hear. You know, I still hear him today. Drive, you know, driving the guy's face in the mat. Yeah, I'm driving. That's all I know about wrestling. But anyway, young man wrestled, and his wrestling coach was there. He says, you know, in the first round, usually it goes to the guy with the best technique. In the second round, it goes to the guy who's in better shape. But the third round always goes to the guy who has the bigger heart. I thought, wow. Paul followed the Lord not because he had the best technique or he was the strongest. He even said he was the chief of sinners. But because he had heart for the Lord. You may not have the best technique as a Christian. You may not be the strongest faith. But if you have a heart for God, He'll move mountains for you. Amen? If you have a heart to continue to follow Him, amen? And we have this promise from the Lord in following Him. It's in Psalm 85. I'm going to read it. Go on and read it here for the sake of time. If you can turn there quickly, great. But it says in verse 8, it says, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. For He will speak peace to His people and to His saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Now, how do we do that? We'll see in a moment. Surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. How does that happen? Mercy and truth in verse 10 with righteousness and peace. And verse 12 says, what is good? God's goodness. How is that experience? He says in verse 13, righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. God's footstep is your pathway. And where God places his foot is victory. Amen. And wherever you place your foot, because you follow the leader, is to walk in victory. Amen? That I love that. Think about it. Think it through. If his footsteps is your pathway, then why are you living in defeat? The reason why is because I'm not following the leader. I've taken my own path. This is a better way, Lord. I think I can get there shorter this way. You know, Lord, I've done some research. I was on, we're someplace the other day, some little girl goes, you know, I researched this on the internet and on YouTube, and I thought, look, I've been doing this for, you know, before you even were a twinkle in your daddy's eye, so don't even, but, you know, it's like, We look to the information of mankind to guide us and to lead us. No, Lord, your footsteps. How do we walk in the footsteps of the Lord? In his word. This is how I lead this church, by the way. If you ever wonder, why did Pastor Al make these decisions? You know, it's because of the very fact that, you know what? God is direct me. I'm looking at his foot. I'm looking at his word. But I know when I have God, when I'm stepping where he stepped, I know it's going to be all right. I know people looked at me crazy. When we built this building, they thought, hey, you're going to put us in debt. We're going to die. You know. Some people probably left the church over it. But here we stand. I look for his footstep, and I put my foot there. I know I got victory. Wherever he tells you to stand, you've got victory according to his word. Amen. I love what the Lord said to Joshua. He said, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you as I said to Moses. And I believe the Lord is saying that to you. This week, put your feet where the Lord has placed his foot, and you will walk in victory. He has promised you righteousness and peace. He's promised you mercy and truth. He's promised you nothing but goodness if you will step where the Father has stepped. His steps are and is our pathway.
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, senior pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com, and you can find One Place on the internet and with a search on your Alexa or Google Play-enabled device. Have you considered becoming a financial supporter of The Dwelling Place? We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find a helpful video, directions, and the current schedule we have for limited access live services at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for another study with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Dwelling Place.